And we are back. Once again, hey everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we are back for another time for suffering. I don't know, drunk and dangerous. We're here to suffer. If you have clicked on this, you better be here to suffer, because we don't do anything else here. Drunk and Dangerous isn't about reading good literature. What are you, crazy? No. We read things that have notoriously bad reputations or very low ratings while I'm high off my ass. I don't know why I'm introducing this to you. I'm sure you've heard this before. You've been here before. If not, escape now. Will you still have the chance? While your brain is still somewhat intact. I mean, you're a patron of me, so questionable. Just kidding. You're all amazing. Excellent. 10 out of 10. Totally not a symptom of mental disorder. Anyway, what is a symptom of mental disorder is this, me continuing on to Moon People 3, which, fun fact, first time I've purchased a physical copy. So, I now have this in my house. Not one or two, mind you. Just Moon People 3. By Mr. Courtney. I like to think that he took this one off the Kindle because he thought I wouldn't be, that I had too much dignity to buy the physical copy, that it would possibly burn my hands or something. Well, too bad. I purchased it. I have no shame. Thank you for making your magical works of fiction available for public consumption. You are doing us all a wonderful service by making a lot of other potential authors feel very capable. If you could publish a book like this without any editing, without a basic knowledge of the structure of the English language, then anyone can. So, I mean, truly, truly anyone. Do you speak English? I'm not even sure it's necessary. You can shit out a book too. And we got a big girthy boy here in Moon People 3, Venus, the goddess of love, not the monster of questionable origin. If you don't know what I mean, never mind. I'm sure we'll get an update in 70,000 years. Okay. And it has a really nice, some clip art of what looks like maybe the surface of Mars-ish. There's like a little mountain in the back. It's all orangey red. Then there's, I don't know if those are, I think those are supposed to be the moon ships, which are clearly just stolen from Star Wars. And then another spaceship that's kind of sticking there. And the Earth, which is blurry as fuck. All of them is like some 280p shit over here. But, yeah. Venus, the goddess of love. Yeah, I don't even know why. Wow, okay, so in the first page, it says Moon People 3, and it's got the same image in black and white. Venus, the goddess of love. And then in quotes, best sci-fi in 2010. And then also in quotes, Amazon gave Moon People 5 stars. Who said these things? Who knows? Are these true? No, they're just statements from someone. Anyway. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not reading your introduction, sir. I'm a terrible person. All right. Venus, Genesis, chapter 1. This story begins in the year October 6th, 2050, orbiting the planet of Venus, where Admiral Benson and the crew of the Aurora are in position. They are investigating if a Venus Genesis is possible. Ever since first science officer Commander David Bramer successfully did a Mars Genesis all everybody has been saying is, let's try Venus because it's just like Earth and so close. Yeah. Venus is just like Earth. It's basically the same planet. Like, Mars is going great. It's been a little over 1 year, and yet construction on Mars, because of light speed capability, has advanced very rapidly. What does that even mean? They're light speed constructing things, and also, wouldn't that just mean you'd fuck up a lot? I don't feel like doing things faster is necessary. Like, there's a tipping point where you're not, like, you know, you've got to figure out how fast can I go while still being safe. If you're like, I literally built this building in light speed, I'm like, all right, you fucked up somewhere, motherfucker. Where are the cracks? Prove it. Like, you shouldn't put shit together in a day. Like, you know, those reality shows where they'd build somebody a house, but then it came out that all those houses were shit because they were constructed so quickly. And it was all just for TV, and, like, the people who actually had to live in there were like, oh, there's a lot of problems because the construction is really shoddy. Which is to say that just having a lot of people and doing it really fast doesn't mean you get the best results. However, if you're David Braemar, you always get the best results with your magical shield of writerly love. Oh, they're already at small city status and moving right along. They now had a population of about 30,000 people. People are fucking like rabbits on Mars. The Martians all survived thanks to Earth and the Paulines, their new saviors. Thanks, white saviors. You saved us by colonizing our planet and taking our resources. Bless you. You gave us so many pox blankets and colorful seashells and beads. You're so nice. And also, thanks for taking my fucking defense system. This is super nice. Even 90% of all the animals on Mars survived. Earth brought animals, fish, trees, plant life, and also a lot of plankton. So we're just adding a bunch of shit to Mars, apparently. All kinds of stuff. Fish, trees, animals. Just all of it. Plankton. Mars did not look anything like it used to. It looked like another Earth now. I'm sure the Martians love that. Thanks. Thank you. You could now see, instead of a red planet, you could see green and brown and blue all over its surface. It looked just like Earth, except there was more land. A lot more land than water. But it was still a beautiful sight to see. Yeah. For me personally, if something is beautiful or not, it's the land to water ratio that establishes that. Now everyone wants to do the same to Venus, if it is possible. Yeah, let's fucking take everyone's planets. Do you even know if there's people on there? They're Martians, apparently. What if they don't want to be terraformed? You ever thought about that? Maybe? The one that received most of the credit for the Mars Genesis was... No, I can't imagine who. Who do you think it is? You think it's anybody else? Maybe it was one of the alien people. No, of course it wasn't. It was Commander David Braemar. He's the one who pushed the button, like, multiple times. Oh, Commander David Braemar, first science officer on board the... I'm sorry. I need to give him his full title because I don't want you to think this is more than one sentence. The one who received most of the credit for the Mars Genesis was Commander David Braemar, first science officer on board the Lunar Base 1 mobile base station, period. Very lengthy title. Why don't you just call him, like, the Great One and get it over with? He was famous on three planets. Earth, Mars, and also Cybon. He got so much alien puss. It didn't look like pussy. It was actually quite horrifying, but he got it. Oh, he got it, all right. He's finally a winner. He doesn't have to screw his daughter anymore. Cybon is the fourth planet from the star called Antares from the constellation of Scorpio, where our friends, the Paulines, live. Yeah, we're such good buds. We always hang out all the time. I mean, they never text back, but, like, they totally would if they wanted to. And they do. They're just so busy with life. Mars was a thriving planet now. Construction was progressing all over Mars. Everyone was planting trees and bushes, plants of all kinds, everywhere on Mars. Don't forget, it's fucking everywhere. There was also construction material all over Mars, too. Wow, they're beautiful. New people arriving every day from Earth and Cybon to colonize Mars. So many people just taking over. I mean, 90% of them are alive. So the question is, like, where are they going to live? Pushing them out of their homes. Just saying, are you going to make reservations for them? And will gambling be legal there? Because I'm putting it all on 32 Black. Anyway, yeah, they're going to colonize it. It was a fresh new planet coming to life again. Mars was literally resurrected from the dead. The planet itself? No, the planet was fine. It was a beautiful time for Mars. There were Martians, Earthlings, and Paulines living on Mars, if you didn't fucking get it already. There were even some captive acorns. And even some Thracians, too. Wait, they have jailed them? Seems a little harsh. There were even some of the Earthlings spreading the gospel. Oh, God, you guys. We did it again. We brought Christianity to a new peoples. We're introducing the gospel. Didn't they already have Jesus in Mars, though? Why do they need the gospel? They already have the gospel. Oh, well, apparently there's more Jesus in this one. If you all had discussed Jesus as one of your drinks, you know, take a drink if you're playing the game. They discussed Jesus. Hope we can all hope. We can all hope and pray even, because it feels very fitting that in Venus they discover Jesus. Like, he's been hiding there the whole time and he's coming back, but he needs David Braemar to help him. Because David is God's chosen one. Like, this is a natural progression of the story. And then at the end, they can go to Red Lobster. And, like, he'll get water, and then he'll just, like, when the waiter turns his back, he'll turn it into wine and they'll laugh, and it'll be the end. I mean, that's definitely not what's going to happen, but I wish. Aw, if God was real, it would. Aw, shucks. Okay, so, anyway, the Earthlings are spreading the gospel. To not just the Paulines, but to the Martians and Acorns and Thracians. I guess the idea was that they hoped that they took the knowledge back to their world. They also had another race called Koruans that the Archons had enslaved from another world centuries ago. Wow, it's fucked up. They had been abandoned by their own people because of war with the Archon and the Thracian people. After the war, we rounded up all the Archons and Thracians that crash-landed on all of the planets and moons in our solar system that survived. Then we brought them all to Mars to study. Study, like, literature? We kept them all in a large, luxurious apartment compound. That sounds nice. What can I do to get this kind of treatment? Because rent's out of control, costs are out of control. Who do I have to threaten to enslave to get a nice, cushy palace around here? Free luxury apartments, and they don't even have to make, like, license plates and shit. And you're not even gonna get shanked? That's ridiculous. Back in my day on Earth, they were treated very decent. Okay. Oh, yeah. And a large luxurious apartment compound enclosed by the Martian shields. They were treated very decent. Some of them even felt bad for what they had done to everyone. They were living better on Mars than they had it on their own planets. Is it really jail then? Is it really jail? Everyone knew the Archons and their friends couldn't have helped them at the time because they were hightailing it out of our solar system. Going back home with their tails between their legs as fast as they could. Now, are these literal or metaphorical? Because we don't get a lot of description about these aliens. I hope that they're literal. But they're very small tails, so you can't see them in their uniforms. It's like almost like an elongated part of your tailbone, like your spine. Just slightly. Sticks out slightly. Horrifying. Anyway, between their legs. But just a little bit. That's why I imagined it. And if he described it, I could have avoided this whole weird, uncomfortable description if he had just described it himself. Anyway, I'm good. Earth was starting to learn a lot about our foes, the Archons and the Thracians. It has been pretty peaceful since we won the war against the Archons and the Thracians. The beginning of last year. We haven't heard a peep out of that sector of the galaxy since. We were also learning a lot about our new friends, the Paulines, a very honorable race of people. In fact, they were willing to die for their beliefs like us, but were a peaceful race. To Earth, they were heaven sent. They had already saved Earth and all of the people twice. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have light speed capability either, or the ability to discuss light speed capability, which is like 1/5 of this book. As David sat back with his hands locked behind his head, he was thinking, what if we do the same thing on Venus? That would be so cool. We would have 3 planets that was inhabited with people. 3 planets that was inhabited with people. What the fuck, man? I have a feeling it's not going to be as easy as Mars, though. But I'm going to give it all I can to do it. I know at least it should be better than it was. I'm going to think positive about this. Who knows? We might just get lucky on this one, too. And if we do, that would be unbelievable. Then David started thinking about his girlfriend, Lieutenant Heather Courtney. His daughter. Whom he met last year in the war to control the galaxy off of the planet Mars on board the Lunar Base 1. David was becoming very much in love with her. Falling in love? And was contemplating getting a lot more serious. We are related. You can't... That's illegal, friend. But David wasn't ready for marriage. He couldn't quite get himself to go all the way, but he knew if he ever did get married, she would probably be the one. We arrived at Venus 2 months earlier, August 5th. And everyone has been studying the atmosphere. Didn't say studying, he said studding. Studding it with what? David found that there were several toxic chemicals in the air. Who studded them there is my question. Mainly sulfuric acids and other sulfides. The entire atmosphere was mostly carbon dioxide. In fact, it was right at 96.5%. The rest was 3.5% nitrogen and a few other things. Venus had the worst case of greenhouse gas in the solar system. Terrible. It was the hottest planet in the solar system, too, because of that carbon dioxide. It was even hotter than Mercury, which is closer to the sun. Oh my fucking god. I can already see from here on the next page that he starts putting chemical formulas. We don't need a lesson in chemistry, sir. Okay. The atmosphere... I hope you guys are ready to hear just a boring list of things he Googled. The atmospheric pressure on the surface was so high, it was like being 1,000 feet beneath the Earth's ocean surface, and it was also 465 degrees Celsius on the surface of Venus at midday. Its hellish surface has a boiling temperature that makes rocks glow red under a crushing atmosphere. The planet's orbital speed is 35.02 kilometers over 3. The diameter of Venus was 6,051.9 kilometers, real close to Earth's size. Venus's atmospheric pressure at its surface was 92 times that of Earth's surface. Now, David was sure the problem was in the carbon dioxide. He knew that if he could fix the carbon dioxide problem and the temperature and pressure problem and get some sun and water on the surface, he just might be able to pull it off. Sure, buddy. Okay. And I know you can. Because the author wants you to. So you got it. You've got this. You know, you could just take a fat shit on Venus, and the moment your shit touched the surface of the planet, it would miraculously transform into an even better version of Earth, full of sexy women who just want to fuck David Braemar for approximately 60 minutes. Anyway, I'm sorry. I was getting a little too... Let's continue. He also had to reduce the temperature way down to, like, 25 degrees Celsius. He said to like, so. He had been studying the carbon dioxide problem for a couple of weeks. Studying it. Look, man, I don't want to be an asshole. I feel bad holding a physical copy of this person's work in my hands, okay? Studying. Like, when I start to feel bad, shit like that happens repeatedly. Like, you put this out, my dude. You are presumably a grown adult. You can do better. I believe in you. Someone needs to tell you, you can do better than this. And I don't know you, but you can do better. Get it to an editor. That would be a huge step. Studying. Just because it sounds similar doesn't mean it's the word you're looking for. You should check the definition. Studying. He had been studying the carbon dioxide problem for a couple of weeks. I'm like, he's studying it out. Everybody's fucking this problem left, right, and center. He knew the answer was in photosynthesis. Because plants and carbon dioxide, it's all coming together. If only it was covered in plants. So he started working out a solution. Now that the Aurora was fully staffed, David had a science department of over 100 members. Everyone was concentrating on the Venus Genesis because, as we all know, they're a hive mind and everyone does everything together at the same time because he doesn't know how to describe things otherwise, unless literally everyone on board is doing them. It's either one person or all of them. On Earth, and there's that same kind of mountain picture. He just kind of cropped it in a little closer. I guess that's Venus, but there it is. On Earth, oh God, okay. For a second, I thought he didn't put any numbers on these pages because the numbers are at the top instead of the bottom. And I looked at the bottom and I was like, why aren't there any fucking page numbers? Because it just seems like something he would do. But no, thankfully they are at the top. Thank fucking God. Okay. I just, for a second, I was like, you better not. The page number is guess, bitch. No, it's here. It's okay. I'm on page 12. On Earth, the ionosphere is isolated from the solar wind. Quote, a flow of charged particles from the sun, end quote. By the magnetosphere. Did you Wikipedia this? The magnetic envelope. Created by the dynamo effect of the Earth's rotating core. I never would have thought The Core, the movie, would be better and more scientifically accurate, and yet here we are. Earth's magnetosphere deflects some ion radiation and charged particles from the sun, although some particles can strike the atmosphere at the poles to create auroras. Venus lacks a magnetic field of its own, but the solar wind seems to generate an induced magnetosphere around the planet by interacting with the ionosphere. This magnetosphere is similar to the ones created around comets. David just kept staring at the formula of photosynthesis. He just wouldn't stop going over the formula. The general equation for photosynthesis formula is CO2 plus 2H2A plus photons equals, in brackets, CH2O in bracket N plus H2O plus 2A carbon dioxide plus electron donor plus light energy equals carbohydrate plus oxygen plus oxidized. Since water is used as the electron donor in oxygenate photosynthesis, the equation for this process is CO2 plus 2H2O plus photons equals in parentheses CH2O in bracket N plus H2O plus sunlight equals carbon dioxide plus water plus light energy equals carbohydrate plus oxygen plus water. Thank you. I've learned so much today. All right, guys, this is going to be on the final exam, so everyone is taking notes, correct? I've got mine written down. I'll sell it for you at a discount after this course is over. David felt that the answer was the combination of water and cyanobacteria in the sun. I thought it was the color red. He also was thinking if we released the combo in the upper atmosphere, the photosynthesis would get more sun. Maybe if we did both. I like that that's like the scientific term. And then it'll get more sun. Or in layman's term, sun go big bright. Okay. Maybe if we did both, release on the surface and the outer atmosphere, it would be slow but steady. David also knew that the temperature on the surface was way too hot for any bacteria to survive. The cyanobacteria had to... Wait, how hot was Venus? I don't think that's true, because there's bacteria that live in the vents in the bottom of the ocean that are extremely fucking hot, so... 465 degrees Celsius. I feel like it's much hotter. Well, whatever. You know, maybe you just didn't Google it. If there are bacteria that can survive in temperatures that hot. I haven't. But I'm doubting your claims. The cyanobacteria had to handle as much heat as possible. The temperature and pressure was two of the major problems in the experiment. The temperature might be repaired by creating a chemical reaction, something like freon when it gets exposed to heat in common air conditioning. Let's put freon all over Venus. We fixed it. The liquid evaporates and removes the heat, although freon does put a lot more greenhouse-like gases in the atmosphere. It also puts an awful lot of poisonous gas when it burns. The world used to use this type of poison gas in World War I and II, so we can't use freon. So why'd you fucking say it? I know you can't use a fuck ton of freon and release it in the atmosphere. Really? But, well, thank you for letting me know you're not going to release poison gas all over the planet. There are other chemicals that will do the same thing as freon, but not burn. Or when it does burn, it does not put off poison gas. Nitrogen is one of the overall chemicals that most planets use as their air conditioning freon. The more you know. Venus has 3.5% nitrogen. And Earth has about 78% nitrogen in our atmosphere. What we can do to aid the chemicals on the surface is we can make an ecliptic satellite adjustable tent shield. We could block the sun out by eclipsing Venus. Surprisingly, on the night side of Venus, the upper atmosphere is extremely cold. Day side temperatures in the upper atmosphere are 40 degrees Celsius / 104 degrees Fahrenheit compared to the night temperature of negative 170 degrees Celsius / negative 274 degrees Fahrenheit. David's science department believe that strong winds blow from the day side toward the near vacuum that is caused by the low temperatures on the night side. Such winds would carry along light gases such as hydrogen and helium, which are concentrated in a night side bulge. I'm sure some of the male listeners can go, night side bulge, I've been there. Night side bulge time. We only need to cooler as much as we can so we can do the photosynthesis experiment. David knew that whenever you have high temperature, you will always have high pressure. David also knew it's the same on the other end. Whenever you have low temperature, you will always have low pressure. We could implement everything and then take the shield away and let the sun do its photosynthesis. He knew it just might work, but it would have to be done on a massive scale to do it. In no way would that work. I am not a scientist, but I call bullshit. We might have to cool off Venus for a couple of days to see if it will work first. You're going to cool the whole planet. Just a couple of days. Calm down, Venus, planet, shush, shush it. All right, well, I have full faith in David Brammer to accomplish whatever the author wants him to. We now have ways to compress molecules very small, so we can store a lot more volume, a 100 times more volume. Wow, a 100 times more. Well, see, you were able to fix it. You just made a thing that happened and could do it for you. Yeah, that's writing. For instance, we can store enough chemicals in one canister to cool off 500 square mile radius. So it is possible, you doubters. Because the magic canister. I have some magical beans that'll make this story better, too. Oh, no. I'm not David Brammer, so the plot armor means it won't work. Sorry. Puts me in a mood. I'm in a mood. I'm getting all spicy. Like those magic beans. We can change the chemistry on some types of gas easily to a harmless gas sometimes. Okay. That's cool. Tell me another one. We have just never done it on this big of a scale. So I figure we should do it something like this. One. Eclipse the planet Venus with a special ecliptic satellite to cool off the planet and lower the atmospheric pressure. But it has to be a total eclipse. Then we could saturate the surface with the nitrogen and more photosynthesis cyanobacteria and water mixture. Two, find a large ice cavity deep in the Venus crust, if possible. That's a big if. And hit it with the microwave beam in the right spot for oxygen and water on the surface. Also to help cool off Venus if we can find water. Three, do the photosynthesis with some type of cyanobacteria with water on a slow but steady application in the outer atmosphere. Yeah, just do it, bitch. I don't know why he's writing his story like this. But okay. And remember, I hope you're taking notes. 1, 2, 3, cyanobacteria, photosynthesis, outer atmosphere, shield. That's right, you got it all. We will have to design several applicators for the outer atmosphere for more of the solar energy effect. Because of the inner atmosphere is so dick. It's so dick. No, it's not nearly that. Because the inner atmosphere is so thick and dense. David knew there were a lot of ways we could fail. I mean, he could fail. Everyone. All right, I forgot we're all there too. But that's what science is all about. You take step by step. Then do a experiment. Analyze all of the data. Then start all over again from scratch until you get the job done. That is the worst interpretation of the scientific method I have ever heard. This was what science is all about. Take step by step, then do an experiment, analyze, and start over from scratch. Okay, sure. If that was how the scientific method worked in this universe, then maybe it is. Maybe it is, because this is going to work on Venus. I mean, maybe it won't work immediately. I would like to think maybe he'll allow him to fail. Because he's saying, hey, it's all about trying multiple things, because you can't expect the first one to always be correct. You start with a hypothesis, then you do an experiment to see, to test if it's correct, and then you try again so you could get more data to hopefully see if your hypothesis is true and build on it and blah, blah, and not, hopefully not start over from scratch. I guess if all your hypotheses are always wrong. But yeah, you just try not to make it worse than it already is. I'm sorry, I missed that last part. Science is all about trying not to fuck up more than it already was fucked. Okay? Then why are you fucking with Venus at all? It's doing fine on its own. There's not, like, secret aliens wanting you to save them on Venus. Why do you need to colonize yet another planet? You're just working on Mars still, right? Like, but over, okay. Okay, just try not to fuck it up more, David. David had his science department design all of the photosynthesis satellite applicators for the outer atmosphere. Also, the canister applicators for a chemical reaction on the planet's surface. They had to withstand extreme heat until the chemicals are released. David knew that we could cool the planet's surface by eclipsing it first. But then David started thinking, so what if the chemical tanks melt from the extreme temperature and pressure? It would still release all the chemicals. One thing for sure is, oh, I guess he's thinking this, who knows. If I accomplished my genesis, there'll be a lot of sugar on Venus. Because that's what the end result is when you do the photosynthesis with cyanobacteria. You literally turn carbon dioxide into oxygen and make sugar. Well, then I believe the first step is to try to find some huge ice cavity. It's in your ice hole. In fact, for this idea to work, we'd better find a lot of ice somewhere. Don't worry, the author put it there for you way long ago. We should x-ray the planet and go from there. Like, you don't even know if it's feasible. Jerk. X-ray the whole ass planet. Do it. Let's see where I am. It's hard because these are all in lumps. Oh, yeah. David was working hard at his science station on the bridge. Gold star, David. The Admiral had not arrived at the bridge yet, but was due any time. David communiques his assistant, Lieutenant Robert Plant. He's a plant, you can't trust him. That was back at the main science office.
Hello, Commander Bremer. How are you doing today?
The commander answered,
I'm doing good, Lieutenant. The reason why I called you is I was wondering how far along you were all coming on the applicators for the photosynthesis and the chemical dispensers for the surface.
Lieutenant Plant.
Well, sir, we have a lot to do, but we think we have the perfect design on the photosynthesis applicators. It was Captain Dopar's design. He has been helping a lot on this project. We can adapt satellites easily, sir, but we are having a little trouble with the canisters for the chemical package.
Commander Bremer.
You know, Lieutenant, I was thinking, the canisters really do not have to last that long.
We already know you talking about it.
Only long enough to reach the surface of Venus. After we cool off Venus when we eclipse her.
It's not a her, don't be weird.
It'll make things a lot easier. Lieutenant Plant, I have something else I want you all to construct. Lieutenant, I want you to supervise this too. I want you to use 2 ecliptic satellites so we can totally eclipse the planet Venus.
It has to be a total eclipse.
So make sure you don't get any light on the ecliptic side. Ask if Captain Dopar can help you with it. I just want an extra satellite in between 1 eclipse to make sure no light gets through, or in case 1 satellite fails.
Then suddenly the Admiral walked into the bridge and walked over to David. Hello, Commander, the Admiral said. How's everything looking today? Commander Bremer replied,
Good, sir. I was just going over everything with my assistant, Lieutenant Plant.
Because, like, he didn't know that was the assistant.
Lieutenant, go ahead and do what we talked about, and I'll get back with you later.
Lieutenant Plant answered,
Yes, sir.
Then Commander Braemar said,
Admiral, I believe I might have the beginnings of a pretty good strategy for our genesis.
Oh, really? The Admiral answered.
What do you have going, Commander?
Then Commander Braemar said,
Well, sir, here goes.
And then that chapter ends, and it starts with him continuing his conversation. On chapter 2, The Right Strategy. I'm going to read us up until the picture of, I think it's Earth, on the next page. So this is his conversation with the Admiral.
The planet Venus is a lot like Earth was before the giant comet hit us, gave us our oceans, sir. In fact, Venus is also like our future, too, because of global warming. Venus has a carbon dioxide or greenhouse effect problem going on here, sir. That's the worst in our solar system. Sir, the Venus atmosphere is 96.5% carbon dioxide and 3.5% nitrogen.
You want to just show him your notes? He's not going to remember this. He's not listening. He's tuning out already. You've lost him, David Braemar. You can't speak like this. People won't pay attention.
In other words is...
Why are you day drinking, David? God damn it. This is like your third time out of rehab. Fucking hell.
In other words is...
You shouldn't be solving this problem. You need to sober up.
This is Earth's future if we don't figure out how to stop global warming on our planet, sir.
Maybe when he said he was spreading the gospel, he meant Al Gore's gospel.
I believe that Earth and Venus were in the exact same condition until that comet hit Earth and gave us our oceans and cooled off our planet.
That's a big assumption there, Davy.
Sir, I also believe the answer might just be in, believe it or not,
one little leaf. Your drinking has gone out of control. Then the Admiral said, Oh, really? A leaf, Commander? I wasn't paying attention. Then the Admiral said, Oh, really? A leaf, Commander? How's that? Commander Braemar replied,
Well, you see, sir, one thing a leaf does do.
Yes, he said, doe, apostrophe S. There's the apostrophe. Does do.
Is what scientists call photosynthesis, sir.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now, Commander, the Admiral said. You're talking about how a plant breathes in carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen, aren't you, Commander?
Yes, we all know what photosynthesis is. Then Commander Braemar said,
Very good, sir, but on a more complicated scale, sir. You see, there are a few ways to have photosynthesis. Not only can you get oxygen from plants or leaves, but you can get oxygen from cyanobacteria photosynthesis and plankton photosynthesis, too. The plankton is in all of our oceans of the Earth, give off 70% of our oxygen.
Write it down. Oh my fucking God. You guys, I was gonna stop, and I looked down. Remember that 1, 2, 3 list? This fucker copy-pasted that shit on his next fucking page. He gives us the list again. So you know what? I'm going to stop after the list because I cannot put this shit down and come back to it in a couple weeks and have this fucking list be the first thing I have to read. I will not do that to myself. Okay. Let me continue.
But you have to have all three things. One is sunshine, another is carbon dioxide, and most of all, you need an electron donor, which is, in our case, is water. Sir, here's my plan of attack. I believe I have it in the correct procedure now.
I mean the correct order. Mm-hmm. Number one.
Eclipse the planet Venus with two big ecliptic satellites in the right spot so we can cool off the planet and its atmosphere. But it has to be a total eclipse. We can position the aurora in between the sun and Venus, also in between the satellites and Venus. Number two. Then we need to find a large ice cavity deep in Venus's crust. Then we hit it with the microwave beam like we did on Mars for oxygen and water on the surface. This will help with the photosynthesis and to bring down the carbon dioxide at the surface. That will help cool off Venus if we can find any ice. Then saturate the surface with chemicals, nitrogen, and the photosynthesis mixture. Number three, last but not least, do the photosynthesis with some type of cyanobacteria with water on a slow but steady spray application in the outer atmosphere. The end of that. I'm fucking done for now. Well,
page 18. I am not looking. His face is on the back of this book and I'm not looking at it. Well, more lists than I expected. I'm having fun in the masochistic sense. I hope you are too. And I hope you will join me back next time for another application of torture. Until then, I'm your host, Drunk, Dangerous, ASMR, and I will see you then.